Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Everyone falls in love sometimes. Sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes it's right. For every win, someone must fail. But there comes a point when we
Adela Barnes. Welcome to my show, Adela, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul, where we will get up close with our radio guests. Before I introduce you to my very special guest for today, I'd like to share with you my thought for the day. It is, learn to recognize your God-given talents, and we all have them. Develop these talents and use them in the career you choose. Benjamin Carson, American physician. And so it is. That quote certainly speaks to our guest today, who has been blessed as an actor and who has utilized her gift on stage and in television and film. She is a veteran stage actor who was honored with a Tony nomination. Nomination for a Broadway role in The Mighty Gents, and has a body of work that includes numerous plays and over 50 TV and film roles, a career that most actors aspire to. I am speaking now of my peer, my theater comrade, my friend, the very powerful actor, Miss Starletta Dupois. Starletta, welcome to Adela.
Oh, thank you so much, sweetheart. It's a joy and an honor for me to be here.
And Starletta, before we talk about your career in the entertainment business, let's do what I like to do with all of my guests. Someone's beeping in on my line, but we're not going to take that call. And that is to go back to your childhood so that our listeners are able to get a sense of you personally. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and raised there, and went through elementary, junior high, and then for high school, I went upstate to Pine Forge Academy.
Ah.
It's Pennsylvania Dutch country.
Hmm.
And it's actually an African-American private school, Seventh-day Adventist school.
Wow.
So my grandmother...
How did you end up going up there?
Well, I had moved around a lot. My parents were divorced. And for a little girl, elementary school had 6 grades. I went to 7 schools. So it was very difficult to bond with friends and really get a grasp educationally. And my grandmother saw this. And she decided, after meeting someone who had been affiliated with the school, that me going away in a beautiful countryside, that I would finally have a chance to find out academically and otherwise what I was capable of doing and being. So it was life-altering. It was my first experience with vegetarianism, which has really helped me well over my lifetime because of the information I was able to get and hold on to health-wise. So it was wonderful being there. And the big thing was once a month we could go skating.
Ah.
You could get a chance to go to town, I guess, a couple of weeks. So
go to town,
you could see,
yes.
Academics was the high priority and then a whole spiritual foundation, happened for me too as well. And so it was wonderful.
What a blessing.
And my grandmother understood that education would be a way out for me.
Yes.
And for all of us, actually.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted so much to be like her.
Ah, so she was one of your role models.
Uh-huh. She was a nurse. My grandmother was always studying, and she had gone to Mary McLeod Bethune Cookman College. And she studied to become a beautician. She had her own beauty shop. Then she went back after my grandfather died and got her certificate as a licensed practical nurse. And she worked until she was 88.
Wow, that's amazing.
As a private duty nurse, only a pacemaker slowed her down a little bit. But I went on to nursing school, Harlem Hospital School of Nursing in New York. And there, one of my instructors saw that I had an aptitude very much for science.
Mm-hmm.
I basically went on to, go to college and major in biology. And it just so happened while I was there at what was Maryland State College in Princess Anne, it's now University of Maryland Eastern Shore.
Mm-hmm.
As a biology major, I also became a part of the Drama Society and started doing theater.
Ah, that's when it began.
I did Ennui's Medea. Hell,
ah.
Fury is a woman scorned. So you can imagine, I had no idea the complexity of the role or the woman.
Yes.
I just knew she was quite different. I'm putting it mildly.
Right.
A sorceress and so forth. But I was fascinated, and the light went on for me that was what I would dream of doing and becoming.
Wow. So that's where your creative side really began to bloom and take shape and form.
Yes. So there's a scientist there and there's the artist there. I would say the artist won out in a sense, but as artists, and you know this, we are healers.
Yes, we are.
And so it was important that the work that I do, that not only to make people laugh, cry perhaps, but more than anything, that they would go away with something to think about and that their lives would be changed in a very positive way. So after I graduated, I went to New York to study and was blessed to be there. I would say it was a Harlem Renaissance revisited, because
yes,
at the time you could study for free in the 70s and everywhere. And I was just blessed to, you know, work with fantastic actors and playwrights and places to work. And I started working immediately. I mean, I would do workshop productions, and then, like, say a play like What the Wine Cellars By started out at Henry Street with Woody King in New Federal Theater as a workshop. We went to Lincoln Center, which is Uptown Broadway, did it there. And then the Vivian Beaumont, and then we went on the road. And so it was a wonderful time.
I can imagine. That was a rich time historically as well. Now, that was a play by Ronald Milner, wasn't it?
Ron Milner, yes.
Yes, yes.
There's
yes.
an expression says, by the time fools learn the game, the players have dispersed.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, you're ahead of me. I wanted to go back a little bit. I know I've heard you speak of your brother. Is it just the two of you, or do you have other brothers and sisters?
Well, with my mom and dad, it's my brother Don Costa and myself. And with my dad and my stepmother, I have four other siblings. One has passed, mm-hmm. and so I have two sisters and a brother.
Okay.
And I didn't grow up with them, but when I we'll talk about that perhaps during this interview, when I left a show to go home to care for my dad when he was had contracted cancer, my brother Gregory was my saving grace in terms mm-hmm. of just having someone to love alongside of me, loving my dad unconditionally until God called him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, connect the dots. I'm trying to keep up with you. You're moving a little quicker than me. So when you left Philly, you went upstate north of the state, and you studied there at the black private school. Did you directly then go on to New York, or connect the dots? Where did you go next?
When I graduated from high school, I enrolled at Harlem Hospital School of Nursing. I had a scholarship, and my grandmother paid tuition.
Beautiful.
And actually, it's very interesting because as a little girl, I've always worked. When my grandmother was working in New York in the summer, while I was in high school, I would go to New York, Yonkers, to Cross County Hospital, and I would, that first year, at 14, I was a candy striper. Then it dawned on me, I could get paid.
mm-hmm. I remember the candy stripers.
And I did, and that allowed me to buy my clothes for school.
Ah. Now tell me, was your grandmother in New York or was she in Pennsylvania?
Well, initially she was in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and then she moved to Yonkers to work there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say from my high school years, she moved to Yonkers.
I see.
Then I would have an opportunity to see her when I came home from boarding school. I would go to New York.
Ah, so that was your first introduction to New York.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And now, how was it for you as an act? What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying, yeah, that was my introduction to
that
Yonkers,
was your introduction.
Which is a suburb. But to New York City, my great introduction was when I went to nursing school.
Ah.
But even then, I was modeling. I was doing very creative things. I laugh because I used to live in Lenox Terrace, and I can look out my window, my apartment window, this is years later, and look
uh-huh.
over into my room in the annex, in the nurse's residence, and, you know, have fond memories of those days, the antics, you know, skating up and down the hall. I mean, we would have to have a release because the course study was so rigorous.
Oh, I bet it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Now, tell me this. How was it for you once you made that transition and had become an actor, and you're speaking now about that rich time that you were in New York in terms of it being a new renaissance, so to speak, in terms of black theater. How was it for you as an actor, and how long did you stay in New York?
It was an awesome time. I arrived there in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had heard about New Lafayette Theater before I'd heard about anybody else.
Ah.
So I went there. That was on the tail end of them dissolving, but I was able to do some wonderful work with them. And Ed Bullins' plays. In fact, my first Equity show was House Party, an Ed Bullins play.
Oh, yes.
But Sonny Jim Gaines had written a lot of plays that had the word head in it. What if it turned up heads? Don't let it go to your head. A hard head makes a soft behind. Well, that's the
right.
one I did.
Okay.
With Bill Cobb.
With Bill Cobb. Bill Cobb, another fine actor.
Yes, and so, and that's, and House Party, I was able, that was my first Equity show for American Place Theater, and Wynn Hammond, and Mary Alice and Earl Hyman were two of those wonderful actor and actress who I admired so much. So that's what I'm saying. I was blessed to work with people
who I looked
up to. And then work for Joe Papp at the Public.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Frankel, I took class with him, who had directed The Blacks. And then got a chance to do Marjorie Kellogg's play, Smaller the Cardboard Man, at Herbert Berghoff. Uta Hagen's husband directed me.
Wow. What an experience.
Dina Merle was in the play, James Broderick. So, you know, I'm looking around.
All the greats.
Right. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness. And I studied at Negril Ensemble Company with Hal DeWitt and Gilbert Moses.
Ah.
Of course, down at Henry Street with Dick Anthony Williams was my first
Dick.
Acting teacher, who I loved dearly.
Yes, the late Dick Anthony.
Late Dick Anthony, and of course Woody King is a mentor. Woody and Ron Milner and Dick Anthony actually founded New Federal Theater. So you can see Uptown with Roger Furman, Black Heritage Theater. I mean, so many people were doing unbelievable work.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
And just having the opportunity to be a part of it. And then I remember when I was to audition for Mighty Gents, it's only one woman in that play.
Mm.
You can imagine every actress who could audition did.
I'm sure they did.
And I must have auditioned, I know, well over 5 times.
Really? Callbacks, we call them.
Callbacks. And it was like, it's almost like people will see the magic, but they don't believe that maybe you can recreate it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you have to prove that you can. And I found out many years later that actually my director, who's directed me twice, actually wanted somebody else. But the playwright and the producers, Jim Lipton and Richard Wesley, the playwright, people pushed for me, and I just kept bringing the magic. You know, I'm going to say this. Rita's spirit inhabited my body.
Mm.
So, and as a performer yourself, that's a very special thing to occur.
Yes, it is.
Because there's some characters we know better than others.
That's right.
And when you're not afraid for that spirit of that person to lay on you, that's when I speak about the magic, that's what I'm talking about. An example, Nina Simone.
Love Nina.
Yes, you and I
you
both.
You can see that she starts out the show.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be very interesting because her spirit, a Billie Holiday spirit, August Wilson characters, you have to earn the right to play them.
That's right.
Lorraine Hansberry,
if you're gonna play
you have
them
to
right.
earn the right to play them.
If you play them right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they, it seems, and this sounds maybe metaphysical or just airy, but if you're willing to do the work, then you're graced with whatever happens. And you find things in these characters that are so special and that it resonates with the audience. And it's wonderful.
Yes, that's where the honesty and the truth come in.
Exactly.
We're going to take a station break for just a second. So stay with me, Starletta.
Yes.
And you're listening now, those of you who may have just tuned in, you're listening to Blake Radio's Rainbow Soul. And my show is Adila. My guest today is the very talented veteran actor, Miss Starletta Dupois. So continuing forward, I want to stay with where we were. I want to stay with that production of The Mighty Gents, for which you were nominated a Tony Award, and every actor wants to be nominated for a Tony Award. What was that experience like for you when they said, Starletta, you're one of the nominees?
Well, first thing, I'll go back to opening night. Ed Bullins told me, after seeing the show at the Ambassador, which is a musical theater house,
mm-hmm.
we really should have been in a smaller house.
Mm-hmm.
That said, that you're going to get nominated. So I'm looking at him like, oh, yeah, right, something like that. I was
mm-hmm.
so excited to be on Broadway. And when I heard that I was overwhelmed that I was nominated. You hear somebody beeping in on me too.
Now it's your turn.
Yeah, but
we're going to keep on going.
But I was shocked. Morgan Freeman was also nominated. So I know how fierce he is. Okay,
yes.
His character, Zeke, the wino, oh my goodness. You know, we wish that theater would be filmed, but because we are performers,
mm-hmm.
other unions would have to pay for our likeness and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But so, there are those that you would really want to be able to see again, that magic. I was shocked. You go to Sardi's and you get your nomination certificate.
Oh.
I'm in the room with Boy that year, 1978.
That
Barnard
was
Hughes, Jessica Tandy,
wow.
Lauren Bacall, Eartha Kitt.
Oh, boy.
Book two. And Anne Wedgeworth with a play. And our show, this is what's so unbelievable. We had rave reviews, but the producers decided to go with a musical, Ain't Misbehavin', who didn't leave town. And we closed in a week. We had just come from the Kennedy Center, you know, just wonderful, wonderful reviews. And but that's what happens on in theater or in anything we do creatively.
But even at that, you still got that Tony nomination.
Nominated. And so I was in such great company. And I remember I used to wear, and I still do, wear gardenias in my hair for Billie Holiday. So I had wore them at my opening, and I wore them when we at the Tony Awards, and I had one in my hand. And I remember how nervous Anita Gillette was, and I gave mine to her, and I said to her, just us being here, we won. It's 40 or 50 plays. It's 40 or 50 plays that are nominated, and four people in each category. I was amazed. I thought I was going to have to work a number of years before that happened.
You were very, very blessed.
Yeah, and so it was amazing. When the camera passed me, I said, "Hi, Mom." I was just happy to be there, you know.
I know you were. And what
the show closes, it's difficult for you to win. Okay?
Okay.
And so Anne Wedgeworth, who went on to do Evening Shade, won. And for Capital, Chapter One was the play. At any rate, Swoozie Kurtz was nominated in the category. Ann Seldes was nominated, and myself. And you can see it's something you don't forget.
No, absolutely not. And it's something that you always have as a credit on your resume, in your bio, to be able to say that you were Tony nominated. That's worth gold in our field.
Well, it's worth gold. Coming to L.A., I do have to say this, as an actress of color, had I been of another ilk with that nomination, it would have been gold.
Yes.
Because I think of a beautiful actress who just passed last week. Bonnie Franklin came with the nomination.
Oh, yes.
She
yes.
got One Day at a Time.
Yes.
So things have changed, and the beautiful thing is that those of us who have labored in this vineyard a while, I chose this, and it's still not too late for, say, for me to go back to Broadway, do something, be nominated, win the Tony, and other things happen, because I see in subsequent years that people have been able to parlay. Epatha Murkison, who took over my role in The Piano Lesson, went on to Broadway and went on to do Law and Order. So
that's
time
right.
changed.
That's right. That's
so
right.
If other folks are standing on my shoulders, there's no bitterness or resentment, because like I said, I would have done this if they never paid me. Servant is worthy of his hire, of course. But I do it because I'm passionate about it and I love it.
And not only that, it's actually your gift.
Yes.
It is your gift. Now tell me this, when did you make the move to Los Angeles and what made you come when you did?
It's amazing. I first came out here in, actually I came out in 72, and this was before I was really studying. And the lay of the land wasn't such. I think Max Julian had said something, well, stay around because you might be able to do, like, one of his movies, Cleopatra Jones and one of them. But the lay of the land, I guess having come from a school in Maryland and we got the Civil Rights Act passed and da-da-da-da-da, I just didn't feel like fighting. and I instances in hotels and how people treated you. So I ran back, and plus I hadn't studied like I wanted to, more than anything, because I am a fighter. I would have done whatever I needed to do to, you know, right or wrong.
Yes.
But I went back because I knew in my gut I needed to study. So I did. So, but in 79, I came out here to audition. They flew me out to audition for a pilot, Uptown Saturday Night, with Dee Dee Bridgewater, Julius Harris, and Adam Wade was my husband.
Wow.
And Pearlie. I'll think a minute of played Pearlie on Broadway. And so I came out, I got the role, we shot the pilot, and I ran back home to New York. I was supposed to stay out here to do Colored Girls, but I wanted to do Ruth and Raisin in the Sun at Henry Street. And Woody King was directing, and Glenn Turman was my first Walter Lee.
Wow.
So, and a brilliant one. And,
I bet.
And so a lot of times people will say, well, you kind of turn your back not to Hollywood because you could have made all this money, whatever. But it's been so important to me to constantly grow.
Yes.
And I'm going to do this till I close my eyes. So the time that God gives me, I have plenty of time to do whatever it is.
That's right.
What got me out here was I got talked into coming to a retreat, a Christian retreat, which my late pastor, Frank Wilson, who wrote Still Waters Run Deep, Keep on Truckin', and all these beautiful, beautiful songs for Motown. He used to produce and write for Motown. And my cousin, Terry, they talked me into going in this retreat. Now, she wrote The Whispers I Only Meant to Wet My Feet and Pure Gold and Light in My Window that Patrice Russian, you know, so talented people. Mm. I went to the retreat and I accepted Christ, and that's what brought me out here.
Beautiful.
Not Hollywood, so to speak.
Beautiful.
It was sort of secondary, but my spiritual feeding and growth was the most important thing, and then the other things just kind of fell into place.
Other blessings have come, yes. Now, speaking of Los Angeles, I said, speaking of Los Angeles, I want to make sure that we plug your award that you're about to receive. You've received others in the past, but I want to make sure that we include this because this one's coming up. This is the next one that you're going to get, and certainly it's not going to be the last, but it's the next one. And I'm speaking now of the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, a nonprofit arts organization that I co-founded 20 years ago. And this year, for our 20th, you will be receiving our Eternity Award, and it's very fitting for a lot of reasons. One of which is it's such a milestone year, and you have been with us, Starletta, from the beginning. You are our very first, you and Angela Bassett were our first hosts our first year back in 1994 when we had our first festival, though we were founded in 93.
Yeah.
So it's very fitting that you would get it this year. And for those listeners who live in the Los Angeles area, I want them to have more details because they may want to come out. They may want to meet you. They want to see, may want to see this award bestowed upon you. It's going to be on March 21st at the Lily Tomlin Jane Wagner Cultural Arts Center. They have a beautiful Renberg Theater that's in Hollywood. And just so that people know the meaning of the award, the description states, the Eternity Award is presented to an artist or individual whose lifetime achievements have made a lasting contribution to the world of theater. How does it feel to be honored in this extraordinary and immortalizing way?
Right now I'm really choked up because there are tears of joy in my eyes.
I hear you.
I am so honored, and I can tell anybody that who loves their work as an artist and who have labored in the vineyard over a period of years, the highs and the lows.
Yes.
that I wouldn't have traded my journey. And it is apropos right this moment to be encouraged to continue.
Yes, yes.
I see the Eternity Award being one that is saying, Starletta, God gave you this gift. He has promised that your gift will make a way for you.
Yes.
Not over, darling. You
no,
just keep on, keeping
right.
on,
that's
encouraging
right.
other ones coming after you, encouraging those that are on this journey with you. And it's wonderful. I've been emailing people the invitation. Your office has sent some out.
Aww.
I've already called in. People are calling in, RSVP.
They're already getting their tickets. They're calling.
I know. And others, I'm emailing off of emails that I even sent one down to my school, University of Maryland Eastern Shore.
Were you so active in giving back?
Huh?
Where you are so active in giving back to current students.
Yeah, and I did something. So it's wonderful. It's exciting to me, and as the days get closer, it really has hit me what is happening and how beautiful and wonderful. And I'm so thankful and grateful to the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival and you, sweetheart, because no one ever knows but another artist this road we travel.
Yes. It looks glittery from the outside, but it's
right.
a roller coaster ride.
And here I am, an actor who studied and grew up in New York, and basically they spoiled me because when I'm there, I can audition, and let me just be honest, I can audition for 10 things, and more so than not, I'll book 8. I can hear an audition for 10 and may not book any. So it has to be that I understand that it had nothing to do with my gift. I do understand that I'm constantly growing, so whatever classes I can take or whatever I can do to help the process, because of the variables, it's very subjective. So which makes the award so much more important to me? Because it's encouraging.
Yes.
Saying,
and not only that, you were very specifically selected. There were others who were nominated. But you were the one who received it. The committee felt that you were the one this year who was most deserving.
Oh,
and so it is indeed an honor to be recognized whenever we are. And
yeah.
the beautiful thing about this year is that Danny Glover and Hattie Winston will be there. There are honorary chairs and have been since 1998-99. And Danny, you've worked with, I know, in the PBS version of A Raisin in the Sun, the TV version. So
yeah.
he's going to be there, and what a nice reunion that's going to be for the two of you to be together. And also, it's such a magical night, speaking of the word magical, because Freda Payne is going to be singing. She's portraying through song honoring Ella Fitzgerald and Lena Horne, and then we've got Lee Merriweather. She's going to be doing an excerpt from her piece, The Women of Sloan River. So you're going to be surrounded by incredible talent, and what a night it will be.
I emailed Sherry Payne today.
Ah, Frida's sister.
Her
yes.
sister is performing, because we all belong to a women's, we go to Denny's whenever I can go, at Denny's on Wednesdays for a Bible study, for a fellowship, a women's fellowship.
Beautiful.
And and that's been going on since I, came out here. And so I let everybody know in my birthday group, Marla Gibbs and her daughter and Cherie Lofton and Adeline Hunter, I just let everybody know what was happening. And everyone who can come will be there. And
beautiful.
Just the support, and it's just awesome. I love Hattie. Diva voice, so encouraged.
yeah.
No, I'm so encouraged.
Well, you are so deserving, and that's why you were selected. Now, you and Danny, of course, work together, as I mentioned, in A Raisin in the Sun, and what I find fascinating and what I learned in your bio doing my research on you is that you have the distinction, and you're the only actor I know offhand who has been able to be cast, who has been selected, cast, and has played all three of the female roles in A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, who was the first black playwright on Broadway. I don't know anybody else who has done that. You played Benita. You played Ruth.
Coming out of college.
And you played Mama.
Yep. And then Ruth, starting with Glenn.
Uh-huh. Oh, you played Ruth before you played Benita?
No. I played Benita just before I came to New York at Black Art Spectrum Theater in Philly.
Okay.
The year after I graduated from Maryland State.
Mm-hmm.
So just before I came to New York, I think it's 1969, I was able to play Benita. And it's amazing to view this piece of brilliant work by Lorraine.
One of my favorite plays, yes.
And it is still timely.
Yes, it is.
But through the eyes of all these women. And the blessing of having wonderful Walter Lees. In fact, I must be the Midas touch for all of them, because Glenn, Bob Gossett, Jim Pickens.
Oh, Bob was one of your Walter Lees.
In Baltimore, Jim Pickens at the Roundabout Theater in New York.
Who played my husband on Roseanne, yes.
Bob Gossett, Delroy Lindell.
Oh, Delroy.
And then Danny.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them have fabulous careers.
They've all gone on.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's not too late.
Well, you better keep touching everybody. Keep touching all the
yeah.
male actors. So
well,
they
when
all
you bless other people, you're blessed. So
that's right.
And this, the fact for you to say that, because I didn't know the process of how that happened. So I'm really grateful, as I keep saying, but that everything happens in its time.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I can't tell you what an awesome feeling it is, and it does my heart good to know that folks said, yes, Starletta, this year is for you. This emerald.
Yes, it is. It's only March. It's only March. And so imagine all the different miracles that are waiting for the next 9 months. Now, we're going to take another station break real quickly. Time is moving so fast. I want to make sure we get another one in here. So those of you who are tuning in and wondering, what is this that I'm listening to? You're listening to Rainbow Souls Adila, and my guest today is Miss Starletta Dupois, the Tony-nominated and very fine actor, Miss Starletta Dupois. Now, I just wanted to say another word or two about A Raisin in the Sun, and then I really want to get to Waiting to Exhale, because I think that's another project that is worthy of some of our time, because we spend a lot of time talking about stage, but I also want to make sure that we spend some time talking about film. And one of the things I wanted to ask you was, how was it different? You've been in a number of A Raisin in the Sun productions, and how was it crossing over to another medium and actually being in a movie version of the play? How did that differ from the stage productions?
Well, as you know, in TV and film, less is more.
Yes.
So if you're honest and you're telling the truth,
mm-hmm.
just expressions on your face
mm-hmm.
speaks volumes.
Yes, it does.
For a theater actor, it's easier for us to make the transition for the most part. I think of times when I've gone in auditions and I was just too big and I'm, you know, having to learn to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for us to go that way than for someone coming from TV and film to do theater, because you have to fill up that space.
That's right. And it's so interesting. I've found that oftentimes when I'm working in TV and film, I can identify the actors who don't have a stage background. I can just feel it. So it's a really different way of having trained. No better, no worse, just different.
Just different.
And so you're right. If we start from stage and move on to TV and film, we do have to pull back because with that camera, everything is right there. It's so close. And even the fluttering of an eye can be seen. I mean, every gesture. So it is different in that regard, and it certainly is a challenge for stage actors to have to pull back and to be able to know how to do it. So it's better, I think, to be able to pull back than try to become bigger. That's the blessing with those who begin on stage.
And I think something that Lloyd Richards, who I've been blessed to be directed by and to do a workshop with up in Connecticut, the Eugene O'Neill, was he told me, he would always say mea culpa, meaning it's easy for me to cry because I'm so in tune with my emotions. I'm happy, I cry. I'm sad, I cry. Angry, all of it will get all of that from me. And he said to me, your job is to fight it. Fight that. Let the audience cry.
To do what we call play opposition, yes.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, and it's a constant, it's a constant study for me, especially coming from a scientific background, which is why once I got out here, I defied everybody, agents, managers, everybody, by me going back to school to do an MFA in theater, a Master of Fine Arts in theater at UCLA. And I'm telling people, all my stuff was on the job. I was just blessed, the gift, you know, and people taught me stage right, left, whatever, up, down, and so forth. But there was so much else I wanted to know. And so I just took a chance and went. And because it was on a quarter system, I was able to book jobs after every quarter. And not anything like I was doing on purpose. Everything just dropped that way, which was wonderful. So I could keep my foot in the door but still have the opportunity of, studying and
honing
doing
your skills even more.
Have the opportunity.
Yes.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. I said of honing your skills furthermore.
Yeah, and I'm still, wanting to do that. So it's exciting. So it was wonderful, making that transition and then having the opportunity, again, to work with some of the finest actors and actresses. And you were speaking about Waiting to Exhale, and that was such a joy, not only to meet Whitney Houston, but we had a lot in common. And we met the night before she had come out here to do the Grammy Awards, but her voice was in my ear. That was the first time I ever had to, her lines were given to me by the script supervisor. But it's a challenge.
How they did that.
Yes.
Because you're on the telephone with her.
Yes.
Yes. So you didn't actually hear her voice? They didn't actually have her feed you the lines?
No, but I had met with her and talked with her, and by me, her daughter, Bobby Christina, is born the day before or after DeAndre. My son is on March the 5th, so she's either the 4th or the 6th.
Mm.
Got married on my birthday, July 18th.
Isn't that
and so
something?
We had things to talk about, and we could bond, and we bonded, like, boom, quickly.
Mm.
We had to leave the next day. And so no matter whatever I was hearing, and then I had Forrest Whitaker. Oh, my God. That was my second time being directed by him. because I had done Strapped with Bo Fine, and he's so brilliant, an actor's director, no question.
Yes, because he is an actor also, yes.
Yes, he is, and so I could still hear her voice in my ear. You know, as artists, we are constantly challenged, so we find out we can do things.
I mean, I'm amazed. I didn't know that's how you guys did that.
Oh, my goodness. That's how I had to do it.
So we're giving up a secret to the listeners right now.
Yeah, all the rest of the divas.
Yes.
They had a chance to be with Whitney for months, and it was beautiful because I could see how they lifted her up, how she lifted them up. She was around awesome, beautiful actresses and actors, and
I'm sure that was very humbling and educational for her.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That baby, you know, what I love about her, I love people that are for real, that are not pretentious, that are not, you know, this being your beautiful self. You know, and we all need to be that. You know, God didn't say for us or that we have to be perfect or we have to be this or that. Just be you.
Yes.
You is enough.
That's sufficient.
It is sufficient. And so my experience, and we were to do the sequel. And
I read that. That was in 2011 that the talks began with Forest Whitaker on that.
Not only that, I had talked with when Terry McMillan came here to the Science Museum to to promote her book. She asked me would I, you know, come on board, and they talked of that. Everyone else had said yes because it was a wonderful experience. And 20th Century, I mean, people kept pushing it back, and you see what happened.
Yes.
Because by that,
you got to seize the time.
You do have to seize
the time.
Angela had to go do On the Mountaintop with Samuel Jackson on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Then Whitney had to go do Sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all about timing, but at least you guys had the magic of that one production all working together. Now, I wanted to ask you this, talking now about television, which we've not really talked about much. Is there a role in a series that you particularly enjoyed working on? And if so, what was it?
Well,
is there one that comes to mind that sort of stands
out?
Even if it was a guest starring role.
A guest Lost, playing Michael's mom and Walt's grandmother on Lost.
Ah, that would be the one.
That's one.
Or one of.
One of. I enjoyed working, playing Dick Anthony Williams' wife on The Jeffersons.
Oh, that must have been
today.
Fun.
That was a lovely guest star.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Harvey Show playing Miss Pittman. And they called me Pitbull. And
wow.
Bullethead and they had put these love letters in my box.
Mm-hmm.
And with this Scottie Pippen cologne, and I'm smelling, I think, and she starts out so homely. I thought I had a secret admirer, and then I smell Coach Cedric the Entertainer. Where's that cologne? I'm thinking it's he. I started in the boy. Oh, so there's a comment I make because he's talking about Terry Bond. You know his girl. He loves his girl, daughter, daughter. I said, when you get tired of that ripple, you come on up to this fine, fabulous Hennessy.
I worked him. Oh, my goodness gracious.
So just funny, you know. Then I have, well, that's a movie, though. I think it's a Friday After Next. That was scandalous. Cussing Day Day out, you know. So it's amazing.
So you've
the
had
wide
colorful
range
roles.
Of roles. I enjoyed. Yeah, speaking of TV, I had fun on Cold Case.
Ah, I worked on that also, yeah.
Yeah, and I tell you some that I wish, but I was back east a lot, and that is Touched by an Angel that I enjoyed.
Oh, I would love to have been on that show.
Yep, me too, and I just see, and I pray that something like that would come back around.
Well, everything comes back around again, so it may not be exactly that format, but surely there will be another show that will have a similar essence at some time.
Yes, it's just yeah, it's just so special.
Just a matter of when. Now, I wanted to ask you this question. You've worked with many established actors over the years. Who is one that you have, and maybe you can't use the superlative most, but one who you have most learned from and why?
Wow. Oh, gosh. Okay.
You've had so many. I know it's hard to
But I can think of three, and I can tell you why.
Okay.
Ruby Dee.
Why?
Her sheer brilliance, and because she's constantly teaching, and she's very generous. Cicely Tyson, I did
Rose
with her, and they used this latex to age me up, and she was so she had my back because she could see maybe places where it was cracking around my mouth, and she wasn't going to me not look just the way I needed to. I played her 85-year-old blind girlfriend. Alveston. It's a story about Alzheimer's. And awesome to again, a generosity. I think of Robert Duvall. I did with him. And he was always sharing. I've had people to tell me, Starletta, you're not in your light. Baby, why don't you move over here? I mean, you know.
And that's a gracious note from another actor.
Yes, it
is. To
make
sure that you're going to be seen.
Yes, yes, you know. And so it's been, James Earl Jones has been my husband and my father.
Wow, both.
So, you know, it's fun. I think the generosity of doing The Notebook with Jenna Rollins and James Gardner.
Oh, talented actors.
Camaraderie that was there. And it's like you're around people who have done this so many more years than you, and that they would be gracious and they would be kind and they would be loving. And so it makes us definitely want to have those same attitudes and attributes that...
And pass on to others, yeah.
Put on.
That come after us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I tell younger actors, pick my brain. If there's anything I know that can be helpful to you, that's my job. I owe it to you, actually.
Yes.
I owe it to you.
And speaking of which, our time, I can't believe we only have 3 minutes. I want to make sure I get a couple other questions in here. You're just wonderful to interview. A wealth of knowledge, information, and just giving. For those who may be listening who are saying, boy, I sure would like to be an actor too, what would you say to them? What piece of advice? What's one thing you would say?
I would tell them, study.
Yes.
Looks easy. And that's because we've done our homework.
That's exactly right.
In the woodshed, when we prepare for a role, not only are we studying the lines, trying to decide what essence we want to bring to this character, but that I know physical training, this temple, this vessel that you have, you want to protect it. You want to take good care of yourself and your pipes, you know?
Yes, because
and
our
that,
body is it's our instrument.
It's our instrument, and you have to study. People tell me all the time, oh, Starletta, I want to be an actor. Get me in one of your movies. And I look at them, and I say, well, oh, and it's not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not. Now, they've given us a notice that we have 1 minute. So is there anything else you want to say in closing?
I would say that this has been a joy and a pleasure.
I am delighted to have had you as my guest. Honored.
And that I would say to anybody, don't play it safe. Dream big dreams. You're never too old. It's never too late for you to realize them.
That's
we
exactly
all have,
right.
You said at the beginning of this hour, and that you owe it to yourself to go for it.
Yes. And those
don't
are words to leave with.
Huh?
And those are powerful words to leave with. Thank you, Starletta, for being my guest today. I want to remind people that on March 21st, you'll be receiving the Eternity Award with the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival at the Renberg Theater in Hollywood. And to my listeners who may have just tuned in, again, this was Adila, Blake Radio Network. It's our Rainbow Soul, and I'd like to hear from you to find out what you thought about today's show. So you can reach me at my website, www.adilabarnes.com. Also help keep Blake Radio alive by becoming a subscriber. And remember to dance, dance, dance like nobody's watching and enjoy your miracle today.
Yes.
Little darling, it feels like you.